are going to talk about the Zika virus this hour and how much we should worry about the Zika virus. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, February 8th. We will talk with an expert on mosquito-borne diseases about how Zika is spreading and the challenges it poses, and we are welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Or your experiences. How worried are you about the Zika virus? Have you traveled to a country where it's at high levels? Let us know what you're worried about or not this morning. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dr. Kristen Bernard, an associate professor in the UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being here.
Oh, thank you for asking me.
So tell us why an associate professor in the UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine is an expert on the Zika virus.
Yes, a lot of us at School of Veterinary Medicine study diseases that are important for both animals and humans. And my interest actually is to study diseases that affect both. And mosquito-borne viruses are cases that do affect animals and humans.
I get it. And the Zika virus apparently is one of them, too. You mentioned that this has been around, the Zika virus, since the 40s. Why is it in the news all of a sudden?
Yeah, it was found in the 40s in Africa and, you know, just occasionally caused disease in people there. Now I think it emerged in the last 10 to 15 years in different parts of the world, in particular in French Polynesia in 2007. And 2010, there was a very large outbreak. And then we think that a lot of it's due to global travel, having a lot of the mosquito vectors around. Also, temperatures, global warming may have an effect. And then people traveling that are infected with the virus can bring it to a new country that's never seen it before.
What exactly is it?
It is a virus that's related to dengue virus. A lot of listeners may have heard of dengue virus. It's in the same family, so they're maybe cousins, I would say. And it's transmitted by a mosquito that's the same mosquito that transmits dengue and yellow fever virus. This type of mosquito likes to feed on people, so that's why so many people can become infected.
And what are the symptoms should you get the Zika virus?
Yeah, so Zika virus typically causes symptoms in about 1 out of 5 people that get infected. And so that's another part of this surprise and this outbreak is that we typically didn't consider it a very serious disease. That 1 in 5 people would maybe have a fever, a rash, and joint pain would be kind of the most common things they would have. And that would go away, you know, wouldn't be too severe. What was then very alarming is the new association with microcephaly that we're seeing in Brazil and other countries where we have a lot of cases.
Yeah, so are we sure that these birth defects are caused by the Zika virus?
We're not absolutely sure, although the evidence is mounting. So, of course, people are really starting to look at these cases more closely. The caseload of microcephaly is quite high in areas such as Brazil. We have to always remember, though, that once we have an awareness of an increase of something like microcephaly or even cases of encephalitis, for example, that we start looking for it, and then we start finding more cases. So a lot of these microcephaly cases may just be what's the norm. But there's mounting evidence that Zika virus is causing an increase. There's a strong epidemiological link, and now we're finding the virus in some of the newborns that are affected with microcephaly.
And microcephaly is a small brain, small skull? That's
right. It literally means a small skull, and that's how it's defined, the circumference of the skull. And then when you look at these by either MRI or something like that, or ultrasound if it's a fetus, you actually see that the brain is not developed.
Yeah, and so here we had a virus that we thought that the symptoms weren't all that bad, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, maybe this is causing this pretty serious birth defect.
Absolutely, and the other thing we need to remember is in some of these countries where it's emerging, people do not have any immunity to the virus, so it's really exploding in a lot of cases across the nation. So taking Brazil for an example, there are over probably a million cases of Zika virus in the people. So even if it's a rare cause of microcephaly, Zika virus causing microcephaly, you're going to see an uptick because there are so many infections in the country.
So Brazil, we certainly have heard a lot about because of the Olympics and such coming up. But where else is it prevalent?
So we found it in Colombia. In fact, my colleague, Dr. Jorge Osorio, also in the veterinary school, is studying Zika virus there. It's also in Ecuador, so quite a few of the countries in South America, especially close to the equator. Also into Central America, into the Caribbean. We have, well, as of last week, I think there were 20 cases in Puerto Rico.
And Hawaii, what about Hawaii?
Hawaii, there have maybe probably been some imported cases. In fact, I think I do remember some imported cases. Now, of course, there are imported cases in the United States, the continental United States as well. And when we say that, we mean those are people that had traveled.
I see. And in fact, I was recently in Hawaii, and I saw a sign saying the dengue virus is here, by the way, but I did not see anything about Zika.
Yeah, it has not been transmitted by mosquitoes yet in any parts of the continental U.S.
But
or Hawaii.
We fear, at least there was one case of a man in Dallas, I believe.
Correct. It was Dallas.
Who they believed there was a sexual transmission of the disease. Do we know that for sure?
There's very strong evidence, and there has been another case previously with somebody who had traveled. Actually, it was a worker, a researcher who had traveled outside the country about 5-6 years ago and came back and gave Zika to his wife.
That was believed to be
sexually transmitted as well. So it's a second case. So that's not very many when you think about how many infections there are. And then there was another case where we have identified the virus in semen from a Zika-infected person, obviously a Zika-infected man.
Yeah.
So there were at least three cases. But when you think about how many infections there have been, especially recently, it's probable, but it's probably low risk.
The American Red Cross now is also, though, putting restrictions on saying people who have traveled to any Zika-infected countries or areas should not give blood for 28 days or something like that. Do we believe there could be a blood transmission of it?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that is something that I study with another mosquito-borne virus, West Nile virus. You can get blood transfusion cases with anything that has high levels of virus in the blood. And most likely, I think we've seen a case in French Polynesia of a blood transfusion. So it's good that the Red Cross is putting that kind of restriction.
Yeah. You mentioned Colombia was another country where it's prevalent and where your colleague is working. Colombia's president over the weekend is quoted as saying that there's no evidence that Zika has caused any cases of the birth defect, the microcephaly birth defect. Would that be possible?
Yes, it would be possible. One, they may not have the be looking for it quite as strongly as some of the other countries, but I'm guessing that they probably are since they've had Zika now for some time. It's also possible they don't have as many cases yet. And if it is a low risk for a pregnant woman to have her fetus get microcephaly, then it might take a lot more cases before they'll start to see that increase.
There are also some cases of an autoimmune disorder that can lead to paralysis that have been linked to Zika. I'm not going to pronounce this correctly. The Guillain-Barré.
Yeah, so I'm never sure if it's Guillain-Barré or Guillain-Barré.
Oh yeah.
yes, and that has also been associated with Zika virus. Again, it's something that happens with some viral diseases. Even influenza virus can result in this Guillain-Barré syndrome. We've seen it in Brazil, this increase in Guillain-Barré, as well as during those outbreaks in the French Polynesia. They saw an increase in Guillain-Barré, and they actually, looking back in their cases, they think they also saw an increase in microcephaly at that point.
We are going to talk more about the Zika virus, including what might be considered to stop its spread. And we are welcoming your questions for our guest expert at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Curdine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with our guest about the spread of the mosquito-borne Zika virus, which has been linked to birth defects in the children, the babies of infected women. And we are welcoming your questions and concerns. Have you traveled to a country where Zika virus is at high levels? Are you worried about the Zika virus? What do you think ought to be done to prevent its spread? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dr. Kristen Bernard, an associate professor in the UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. We have Jennifer on Facebook, Dr. Bernard, who asks, I would like your guest to discuss the safety of taking young teen girls on vacation. Girls who wouldn't necessarily be having children for another 10 years or so. I'm wondering, for trip planning purposes.
Yes, I think young girls like that would be very safe in traveling to places with Zika virus is being transmitted. Of course, the CDC, as well as anybody infectious disease physician, would recommend they prevent infection as much as possible by using mosquito repellents, avoiding areas with a lot of mosquitoes. There's no evidence that these viruses will persist in a person for long enough that then could cause a problem later. If they became pregnant. It's usually thought to be just a short window, probably about 1 to 2 months. So if a woman was traveling to an area, it would be wise to wait to try to get pregnant for 1 to 2 months. But years, I feel very confident that those girls are safe.
Well, good to know. I was going to ask, how long does it stay in your system?
I think for 1 to 2 months, I think CDC is probably recommending about a month. I haven't looked at the recommendations really recently, but I would think about a month is 2 months would be very safe.
Do you believe that the travel advisories for pregnant women saying don't, that these are warranted?
Yes, I think they are. It's not clear yet what the risk is for a pregnant woman. So, in other words, how many pregnant women that become infected would result in a microcephalic baby? That number is not out yet. And I think with more study, we might be able to figure what the true risk is. We really need more research on that. At this point in time, if I was pregnant, I would not travel to those countries until we knew more. Now, if you absolutely had to for a family emergency or something like that, a woman could use repellent and be very, very cautious to avoid areas that had mosquitoes, and then she's probably going to be fairly safe. But, of course, that's a personal decision.
That would go presumably for men, if in terms of if you're a part of a couple that wants to conceive, that needs to be delayed. If a man travels,
and recently CDC has made a recommendation that the couple wait about a month after a man could potentially have been infected as well.
Well, not that many of us are going to be going to the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro August 5th through the 21st, but maybe some people are planning on doing that. Is this a big concern?
Again, I think it is a concern, and people should be wearing repellent, and pregnant women should be cautioned. Also pay attention to CDC's recommendations closer to the event. It's possible that Brazil will have some of this under control. If they can control mosquitoes in the area where the events are taking place, then people are going to be much safer.
Yeah. Do you know what Brazil is doing to try to get the outbreak under control?
They are using mosquito control. I know that. I haven't heard a lot of the specifics about what Brazil is doing, except for that they are trying to control the mosquito itself.
And is that the only way to really control something like this?
Yes, it is. If we can control that mosquito, we can control this disease. This disease, this virus, really is a human virus. It's not known to infect a lot of different animals except for potentially non-human primates, so monkeys. It's possible. We haven't done a lot of studies. There might be another animal that it can replicate in well. But for right now, it's really humans and mosquitoes. And so if we can control that mosquito, we can control this disease.
And some of the ways you control mosquitoes in general, I'm trying to think of efforts, for example, even right here in Wisconsin, to control West Nile virus, getting rid of standing water on your property or tires that have standing water in them and that sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely. That's a really important control method, as well as, of course, there's larvicides, so things that they can put into water that will kill the mosquito larvae. And then there are adult sprays, environmental sprays that they used for West Nile virus control. And one big thing is what you mentioned is actually removing those breeding grounds. The type of mosquito that transmits this virus really likes things like tires, small containers, garbage that may have a bottle or something that has water in it. That's where they like to breed. So if we can remove a lot of that breeding habitat, we can also greatly control this mosquito.
This is, I'm just kind of curious. You say this was first discovered in Africa.
Yes.
And now we're seeing it in, Central and Southern American countries and the Caribbean. How did it get there?
Yes, most likely it got there with a person that traveled that was infected. And because this virus does replicate in a person and is transmitted between the mosquito and the person, that's an easy way for it to go to a new country. Somebody's infected, they may not even know it, because there's only one of five people that even know they're sick. And they come to a new country, and if that mosquito is there and bites them, they can start the whole cycle.
I'm trying to figure out, is there any way, can the U.S. stop Zika from coming here if we've got some people who now have traveled, here from an infected country? We have to have the mosquito here, or does a mosquito get the virus from a person?
Mosquito gets the virus from a person.
Yeah.
So just the people traveling can cause this outbreak to happen. We have a lot of cases that are coming in with travelers in the United States, and CDC reports those cases on a weekly basis. But we have not yet seen the mosquito become infected from a person. Now, we don't have a lot of the main mosquito vector. We call that a mosquito vector, the one that transmits the virus, in the United States, except for in the southern parts of the states. If we were to see this, it would probably be in Florida, where somebody traveled in with the Zika virus. The mosquito, which is called Aedes aegypti, would then potentially become infected if they fed on that person.
I'm glad I asked. I didn't realize that that's how. So the
yes.
Mosquito, it's a certain type of mosquito, but if it chomps on an infected person in where it exists in southern Florida, that could then cause a Zika outbreak there.
Yes, absolutely. And we've seen that with dengue virus. So we base a lot of our information, because there's not a lot of research done on Zika virus, on the related dengue virus. And dengue, we have seen in southern Florida, transmitted between mosquito and a person, but that's been stopped. So we are hopeful that that will also happen, if that happens with Zika virus, that we would be able to stop it. We're fortunate living in the United States in that we have a lot of air conditioning. We have screens on our houses. So we're very fortunate because that will probably also help us control if Zika virus were to come to the United States. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So, and because I'm a little bit slow here, the certain type of mosquito is only in the warmer climates. It's not up here in Wisconsin.
We do not have Aedes aegypti in Wisconsin. There is another mosquito that's thought to be important. It's called Aedes albopictus. That is also not in Wisconsin, but is as far north as Chicago.
Oh.
We don't know how important that mosquito vector is, again, because of the research, but it's suspected to be at least second to Aedes aegypti. And there are other mosquito vectors in the world that can transmit this, and we don't know a lot about our mosquito vectors here in the United States, other mosquito species. But probably it's going to, if we don't have Aedes aegypti or Aedes albopictus, we probably are not going to have a big, huge transmission and outbreak.
We are talking with Dr. Kristen Bernard, an associate professor in the UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. She is an expert on mosquito-borne diseases. And we are talking about the mosquito-borne disease of Zika. And we're welcoming your questions for her. We're also welcoming any concerns you might have, any experiences. Have you traveled to one of the countries where this is at high levels? Anybody planning on going to Brazil for the Summer Olympics? Are you concerned about that now? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have Jill in Rhinelander with us. Hi, Jill.
Oh, good morning. I have a question. If there are any statistics relating to the microcephaly, the small heads and brains in Africa or in Asia where this has shown up.
Do those birth defects exist in high numbers there?
Yes, you know, I think a lot of it is that we're not looking. The surveillance, for example, is not as good. But there has been association of this microcephaly in the outbreaks in French Polynesia. So when we look at that, there has been an increase. So it's a little difficult to say on whether or not this is truly due to Zika virus, except for that this is a strong link. My feeling is that it's potentially because there were so many Zika virus infections in Brazil that then the smaller risk of microcephaly is able to show up and that we can actually see those cases now. So in other words, if there were only 10,000 infections, maybe there'd be one extra microcephaly case and we wouldn't notice it. But if there's a million infections like there are in Brazil, we're going to have an increased chance of seeing the microcephaly. So not seeing it in Africa and parts of Asia where this virus has been for a long time doesn't necessarily mean that microcephaly isn't due to Zika virus. I believe it's more because we're seeing such a large outbreak, and we also saw that in French Polynesia where we'd never seen Zika virus before. And then when it emerged, they did start to see increase in microcephalic cases.
I get it. All right. Well, if there wasn't this link to these birth defects, this microcephaly, would we just not worry at all about Zika virus?
I think we'd worry some. There is, although the disease is mild, we do see some long-term effects. Some joint pain and arthritis, so we do see some long-term effects. So we wouldn't be as worried, of course, because I think once you start to connect something, a birth defect with a disease, it, of course, really is alarming to the public. And once we're actually telling women not to get pregnant in those countries, I think that's of great concern.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned to you during the news break that Dr. Art Kaplan, who's a medical ethicist at New York University, is suggesting that the Summer Olympics in Brazil be postponed because of the Zika virus. I'm just wondering your reaction to that.
Yes, I think it depends on if Brazil is able to get the mosquito control better in check. You know, if they can really control the mosquitoes. I'm not sure the areas where the Olympics are going to be taking place, if it's an area where there are tremendous numbers of mosquitoes. But if they can control the mosquito in those areas, I think it's much safer for the athletes and visitors. I do think it's a concern that people will potentially spread to new countries, the travelers that are coming back and forth. That is how we thought Zika virus first emerged in Brazil, was due to a traveler.
Mm-hmm. So the Chicago Tribune editorial board is advocating an all-out war on this mosquito, including eradicating the two specific carriers of Zika. Apparently, they're advocating an all-out war on the mosquito in general.
Well, nobody likes the mosquito.
Yeah, yes, our unofficial state bird here. They also are suggesting targeting the malaria-carrying strain of mosquito next. How realistic do you think this is?
Well, there's an environmental cost to that. If we're going to be using pesticides, we were able to eradicate Aedes aegypti, the major carrier of Zika virus, back 30, 40 years ago, using DDT.
Oh, yeah.
And if you remember, DDT caused a horrible environmental cost for bald eagles, for example. Why were they endangered? It was due to DDT. So, you know, we need to be cautious. Yes, we definitely need to have a war on these guys, but I think it's more controlling the breeding grounds, using safe larvicides, which are actually quite safe for the environment, being smart about it. And, you know, we can have a war, but let's be smart about it.
I'm trying to remember, when I was growing up, they used to drive around the city of Appleton in it was some sort of fogger to kill mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
And kids would like chase this thing laughing, you know, and get smogged out by this. Was that DDT that
you know, I'm not sure if that was DDT or not, but I've heard that story of people telling me that they would run after the spray truck.
Yeah.
And they thought it was quite exciting. West Nile virus, when it emerged here in 1999 and 2000, those first few years, we did do some spraying, like you're describing, yeah. But it was not DDT.
Yeah. So I guess in terms of the breeding grounds, that the way you attack the breeding grounds, we talked a little bit of it, but you put the safe chemicals into the water and the tires, for example.
Right. And well, the best thing is to get rid of those tires.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically we're talking about garbage or dump sites that would have a lot of used tires. Well, let's recycle those tires. Let's not have them out there in the environment where they can collect water. Also, in the people's homes, a lot of this emergence is happening in poor regions, and they are using containers to just hold their water. And if those are open, then the mosquitoes can breed in them. And so a lot of it's education, getting better services to the poor communities so that they don't have to have a container holding their water, or if they do, have it covered. That's just one simple thing that can be done, is covering it. This particular mosquito, Aedes aegypti, likes to be around humans. In fact, it really only feeds on humans.
Ah. Thanks a lot, Aedes aegypti.
Yeah.
We are talking about the Zika virus, and we have we'll go to your phone calls with your questions for Dr. Kristen Bernard after we check news. She's an associate professor in the UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. She is an expert on mosquito-borne diseases. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll check news, and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
You're
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with our guest about the Zika virus, the mosquito-borne Zika virus, which has been linked to birth defects in the children of infected women. It's led to travel advisories for pregnant women, and in some countries, advice that women delay pregnancy entirely. The American Red Cross is also putting restrictions on blood donations from people who have traveled to countries where there is a high incidence of the Zika virus. We are talking about how Zika is spreading, the challenges it poses, how big a problem it may become in the U.S., and we're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dr. Kristen Bernard, an associate professor in the UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. Let's take a call next from Gary in Brookfield. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. And I have a question for your guest. My understanding, this mosquito, the Asian tiger mosquito, and I've seen them, they're pretty unmistakable, has been around for ages. And so this disease has, I presume, evolved in the last so many years. And so the question is, does she have any understanding of how the disease itself has developed and then started to be carried by the mosquito?
Yeah, I think you're asking about the Asian tiger mosquito, which is called Aedes albopictus. We do have that mosquito in the United States much more commonly than Aedes aegypti. Aedes aegypti is primarily in the southern United States, whereas Aedes albopictus is up to probably even Chicago. We see it as far north as Chicago and areas of New York for sure. We don't have Aedes albopictus to high numbers in Wisconsin. This virus has been transmitted by the Aedes aegypti for a very long time and some other Aedes species in Africa, Aedes africanus, in fact. Whether or not it's adapting to Aedes albopictus, we really need more research to see if it could be. There's another virus, chikungunya virus, which is transmitted by these two vectors, and it did change so that it could be transmitted more readily by Aedes albopictus. So it's a great question. We really need more research to understand that.
So I'm a little bit confused. So what is the typical, the most common mosquito in Wisconsin?
Oh, I wish I had my colleague, Dr. Susan right. Paskowitz here, but there are lots. I mean, I think that's one thing that everyone doesn't realize, how many different mosquito yeah. species there are. And there's another genus, and that genus is Culex. And in fact, West Nile virus is transmitted by that Culex genus right. most readily.
And I didn't mean to stump you there, but so the Asian yeah. tiger mosquito that Gary is referring to, that's not the mosquito that's doing the Zika.
No, yeah. but it is believed to because it is dengue virus is transmitted okay. by it, as well as this chikungunya that I mentioned.
I
but
see.
Dengue is related to Zika, a close cousin. And so most likely if dengue is also Zika is transmitted by Aedes albopictus.
Yeah. And so, Gary, did you have a follow-up to that?
Well, and so the disease has actually been around for much longer than I envisioned, because I believe these mosquitoes have been around for hundreds of years. So the virus has evolved from something to create this virus, or have they just discovered that it's the virus is ability to cause these birth defects and things like that.
Yeah, I think it's sort of the first question I asked, and Gary missed that in terms of, you know, if it's been around since the 40s, why all of a sudden are we just discovering now that, oh my gosh, it might be connected to this terrible birth defect?
Right, and the thoughts that I have on that is that we're seeing this come into an area where we've never seen Zika virus before, in, for example, Brazil and other countries. And so many people, it's just exploded, so many people are infected. There's estimates of over 1 million infections in Brazil alone. And so then even if the risk is small of microcephaly, we can see it when we have so many infections. But if it's in a countries where the virus has been for a very long time. And you're right, for centuries, or, you know, this virus has been here a long time and has been transmitted to people probably for a very long time. But if the most of people have immunity to it, then there aren't very many infections. And then we're not going to see that very small numbers of microcephaly as being caused by the virus. It's a numbers game, if you understand what I'm saying.
And we did have a caller who dropped off, who was, I guess, maybe questioning the numbers in Brazil, thinking they were so terribly high, and wondering if, I don't know, poor hygiene, poor health care, poor record keeping, you know, do we really know that this is so prevalent in Brazil?
Well, some of the numbers are probably, now that we're starting to look for microcephaly, we're seeing those cases that we might have missed earlier, and they probably aren't due to Zika virus. But this high number, and then recent evidence that we're finding the virus in the newborns, that causes us to really think that Zika virus is probably causing an increase in microcephaly. There's always some cases of microcephaly.
And what I was getting to a little bit earlier was, why only the two mosquitoes that are thought to transmit the Zika virus? Why only those two? Why isn't whatever the most common mosquito in Wisconsin capable of carrying it?
Yeah, actually, mosquito-borne viruses are really fascinating because they do have the ability to replicate or be transmitted in only some mosquito species. And a lot of that is just, there's just like cold viruses infect only humans and not your dog, for example. So there's a specificity there in how the virus needs a certain host. And we think all mosquitoes are alike, but the virus doesn't. The virus actually prefers to replicate in a certain mosquito species. And we call that a competent mosquito. In other words, it's competent to replicate the virus and then transmit it on. Another factor, and this is why I find these so interesting, is that the virus replicates in the person, and that means that the mosquito has to like to bite a person. And these two mosquito species, Aedes aegypti and Aedes albopictus, Aedes aegypti in particular, loves to bite people and feed on people, and really pretty much only feeds on people or other primates.
So we taste better than an animal.
Yeah, that's what they prefer, and that's what they feed on. And the Culex species that I mentioned earlier, a lot of them prefer birds. And the ones that West Nile is transmitted by,
that's
prefer
right.
birds.
Interesting. That is really interesting. So I meant to ask you a little bit about what's going on research-wise. Scientific researchers have been comparing Zika to early stages of the AIDS epidemic as far as the process of figuring out how the virus works and what to do next. Does that seem like a fair comparison to you?
I wouldn't say it's quite a fair comparison in that when HIV first emerged, boy, we knew very little about it. Whereas Zika, at least we have the related dengue virus that we know quite a bit about. We don't know a lot specifically about Zika virus, so that comparison is true.
So what kind of research should we have is currently happening when it comes to Zika, or what do we need?
Yeah, we don't have a lot of research going on with Zika virus. It's what we call a neglected tropical disease. NIH has recently put out a call for researchers to submit grants. And the things that we want to look at are this connection with microcephaly. That's number one. Also, what different mosquitoes can transmit it, because it's not just Aedes aegypti and Aedes albopictus that can transmit this. At least in Africa, we know there's a different mosquito species. In French Polynesia, it was another mosquito species. So we need to know more about that. Are there other mosquito vectors in the United States that could potentially transmit this virus? Nothing is known about that. We also just need to understand the risks of transfusion transmission, for example. how it causes disease, vaccines could be developed, and that, that would be a very important
it.
Area
yeah.
of research.
Yeah.
And then also new tests to diagnose it. We also need that because it's not easily diagnosed after you've after the time when you're really sick. You can probably fairly readily diagnose it then, but after that time, it's difficult to diagnose.
Yeah. So do you, based on your knowledge of this, have some last words for our listeners who might be considering a trip to a country that has the Zika virus?
I think somebody that's traveling to the Caribbean or South America, if they're trying to become pregnant or are currently pregnant, I would caution them at this point in time until we know and have more information. Other travelers, I think as long as you wore mosquito repellent, avoided mosquito areas, that you're safe. And then we talked earlier about men that might become infected and potentially transmit the virus sexually to their partner. If that partner was thinking of getting pregnant, they should probably wear protection for at least a month.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us and teaching us about the Zika virus.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Dr. Kristen Bernard is an associate professor in the UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine, talking with us about the Zika virus. Coming up tomorrow at this time, we are going to be talking to a parenting author about why he says treating kids like adults is hurting them. This is the result of a listener suggestion. We will follow up on a listener suggestion, talking with a parenting expert tomorrow at this time. Coming up next, we will talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court election, the primary election, which is coming up a week from tomorrow. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.